Book 11, Chapter 4. How the temple was built while the Cutheans endeavored in vain to obstruct the work. Now in the seventh month, after they were departed out of Babylon, both Jeshua the high priest and Zorobabel the governor sent messengers every way round about, and gathered those that were in the country together to Jerusalem universally, who came very gladly thither. He then built the altar on the same place it had formerly been built, that they might offer the appointed sacrifices upon it to God, according to the laws of Moses. But while they did this, they did not please the neighboring nations, who all of them bear an ill will to them. They also celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles at that time, as the legislator had ordained concerning it. And after they offered sacrifices, and what were called the daily sacrifices, and the oblations proper for the Sabbaths, and for all the holy festivals. Those also that had made vows performed them, and offered their sacrifices from the first day of the seventh month. They also began to build the temple, and gave a great deal of money to the masons and to the carpenters, and what was necessary for the maintenance of the workmen. The Sidonians also were very willing and ready to bring the cedar trees from Libanus, to bind them together, and to make a united float of them, and to bring them to the port of Joppa. For that was what Cyrus had commanded at first, and what was now done at the command of Darius. In the second year of their coming to Jerusalem, as the Jews were there in the second month, the building of the temple went on apace. And when they had laid its foundations on the first day of the second month of that second year, they set as overseers of the work such Levites as were full 20 years old. And Jeshua and his sons and brethren, and Kadmiel the brother of Judas, the son of Amminadab, with his sons, and the temple, by the great diligence of those that had the care of it, was finished sooner than any one would have expected. And when the temple was finished, the priests, adorned with their accustomed garments, stood with their trumpets, while the Levites and the sons of Asaph stood and sung hymns to God, according as David first of all appointed them to bless God. Now the priests and Levites and the elder part of the families, recollecting with themselves how much greater and more sumptuous the old temple had been, seeing that now made how much inferior it was, on account of their poverty, to that which had been built of old, considered with themselves how much their happy state was sunk below what it had been of old, as well as their temple. Hereupon they were disconsolate, and not able to contain their grief, and proceeded so far as to lament and shed tears on those accounts. But the people in general were contented with their present condition, and because they were allowed to build them a temple, they desired no more, and neither regarded nor remembered, nor indeed at all tormented themselves with the comparison of that and the former temple, as if this were below their expectations. But the wailing of the old men and of the priests on account of the deficiency of this temple in their opinion, if compared with that which had been demolished, overcame the sounds of the trumpets and the rejoicing of the people. But when the Samaritans, who were still enemies to the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, heard the sound of the trumpets, they came running together and desired to know what was the occasion of this tumult. And when they perceived that it was from the Jews who had been carried captive to Babylon and were rebuilding their temple, they came to Zorobabel and to Jeshua and to the heads of the families and desired that they would give them leave to build the temple with them and to be partners with them in building it. For they said, "We worship their God and especially pray to him and are desirous of their religious settlement, and this ever since Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, transplanted us out of Cutha and Media to this place." When they said thus, Zorobabel and Jeshua the high priest and the heads of the families of the Israelites replied to them that it was impossible for them to permit them to be their partners, whilst they only had been appointed to build that temple at first by Cyrus and now by Darius, although it was indeed lawful for them to come and worship there if they pleased, and that they could allow them nothing but that in common with them, which was common to them with all other men, to come to their temple and worship God there. When the Cuthearts heard this, for the Samaritans have that appellation, they had indignation at it, and persuaded the nations of Syria to desire of the governors, in the same manner as they had done formerly in the days of Cyrus, and again in the days of Cambyses afterwards, to put a stop to the building of the temple, and to endeavor to delay and protract the Jews in their zeal about it. Now at this time Sisinnes, the governor of Syria and Phoenicia, and Sathrabuzanes, with certain others, came up to Jerusalem, and asked the rulers of the Jews, by whose grant it was that they built the temple in this manner, since it was more like to a citadel than a temple, and for what reason it was that they built cloisters and walls, and those strong ones too, about the city. To which Zorobabel and Jeshua the high priest replied, that they were the servants of God Almighty, that this temple was built for him by a king of theirs that lived in great prosperity, and one that exceeded all men in virtue, and that it continued a long time, but that because of their father's impiety towards God, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians and of the Chaldeans, took their city by force and destroyed it, and pillaged the temple, and burnt it down, and transplanted the people whom he had made captives, and removed them to Babylon. That Cyrus, who after him was king of Babylonia and Persia, wrote to them to build the temple, and committed the gifts and vessels, and whatsoever Nebuchadnezzar had carried out of it to Zorobabel and Mithridates the treasurer, and gave order to have them carried to Jerusalem, and to have them restored to their own temple when it was built. For he had sent to them to have that done speedily, and commanded Sanabassar to go up to Jerusalem, and to take care of the building of the temple, who upon receiving that epistle from Cyrus came and immediately laid its foundations. And although it hath been in building from that time to this, it hath not yet been finished, by reason of the malignity of our enemies. If therefore you have a mind and think it proper, write this account to Darius, that when he hath consulted the records of the kings, he may find that we have told you nothing that is false about this matter. When Zorobabel and the high priest had made this answer, Sisinnes and those that were with him did not resolve to hinder the building, until they had informed King Darius of all this. So they immediately wrote to him about these affairs. But as the Jews were now under terror, and afraid lest the king should change his resolutions as to the building of Jerusalem and of the temple, there were two prophets at that time among them, Haggai and Zechariah, who encouraged them, and bid them be of good cheer, and to suspect no discouragement from the Persians, for that God foretold this to them. So, in dependence on those prophets, they applied themselves earnestly to building, and did not intermit one day. Now Darius, when the Samaritans had written to him, and in their epistle had accused the Jews, how they fortified the city, and built the temple more like to a citadel than to a temple, and said that their doings were not expedient for the king's affairs. And besides, they showed the epistle of Cambyses, wherein he forbade them to build the temple. And when Darius thereby understood that the restoration of Jerusalem was not expedient for his affairs, and when he had read the epistle that was brought him from Sisinnes, and those that were with him, he gave order that what concerned these matters should be sought for among the royal records. Whereupon a book was found at Ecbatana, in the tower that was in Media, wherein was written as follows: Cyrus the king, in the first year of his reign, commanded that the temple should be built in Jerusalem, and the altar in height 60 cubits, and its breadth of the same, with 3 edifices of polished stone, and 1 edifice of stone of their own country. And he ordained that the expenses of it should be paid out of the king's revenue. He also commanded that the vessels which Nebuchadnezzar had pillaged out of the temple and had carried to Babylon should be restored to the people of Jerusalem, and that the care of these things should belong to Sanabassar, the governor and president of Syria and Phoenicia, and his associates, that they may not meddle with that place, but may permit the servants of God, the Jews and their rulers, to build the temple. He also ordained that they should assist them in the work, and that they should pay to the Jews out of the tribute of the country where they were governors, on account of the sacrifices, bulls and rams and lambs and kids of the goats, and fine flour and oil and wine, and all other things that the priests should suggest to them, and that they should pray for the preservation of the king and of the Persians, and that for such as transgressed any of these orders thus sent to them, he commanded that they should be caught and hung upon a cross, and their substance be confiscated to the king's use. He also prayed to God against them, that if anyone attempted to hinder the building of the temple, God would strike him dead, and thereby restrain his wickedness. When Darius had found this book among the records of Cyrus, he wrote an answer to Sisinnes and his associates, whose contents were these: King Darius to Sisinnes the governor, and to Sathrabuzanes, sendeth greeting. Having found a copy of this epistle among the records of Cyrus, I have sent it to you. And I will that all things be done as is therein written. Fare ye well. So when Sisinnes and those that were with him understood the intention of the king, they resolved to follow his directions entirely for the time to come. So they forwarded the sacred works, and assisted the elders of the Jews and the princes of the Sanhedrin, and the structure of the temple was with great diligence brought to a conclusion, by the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah, according to God's commands, and by the injunctions of Cyrus and Darius the kings. Now the temple was built in 7 years' time. And in the 9th year of the reign of Darius, on the 23rd day of the 12th month, which is by us called Adar, but by the Macedonians Dystrus, the priests and Levites and the other multitude of the Israelites offered sacrifices as the renovation of their former prosperity after their captivity, and because they had now the temple rebuilt, 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and 12 kids of the goats, according to the number of their tribes, for so many are the tribes of the Israelites, and this last for the sins of every tribe. The priests also and the Levites set the porters at every gate, according to the laws of Moses. The Jews also built the cloisters of the inner temple that were round about the temple itself. And as the feast of unleavened bread was at hand in the 1st month, which according to the Macedonians is called Xanthicus, but according to us Nisan, all the people ran together out of the villages to the city, and celebrated the festival, having purified themselves, with their wives and children, according to the law of their country. And they offered the sacrifice, which was called the Passover, on the 14th day of the same month, and feasted 7 days, and spared for no cost, but offered whole burnt offerings to God, and performed sacrifices of thanksgiving, because God had led them again to the land of their fathers, and to the laws thereto belonging, and had rendered the mind of the king of Persia favorable to them. So these men offered the largest sacrifices on these accounts, and used great magnificence in the worship of God, and dwelt in Jerusalem, and made use of a form of government that was aristocratical, but mixed with an oligarchy, for the high priests were at the head of their affairs, until the posterity of the Asamoneans set up kingly government. For before their captivity and the dissolution of their polity, they at first had kingly government from Saul and David for 532 years, 6 months and 10 days. But before those kings, such rulers governed them as were called judges and monarchs. Under this form of government they continued for more than 500 years after the death of Moses, and of Joshua their commander. And this is the account I had to give of the Jews who had been carried into captivity, but were delivered from it in the times of Cyrus and Darius. But the Samaritans, being evil and enviously disposed to the Jews, wrought them many mischiefs, by reliance on their riches, and by their pretense that they were allied to the Persians, on account that thence they came. And whatsoever it was that they were enjoined to pay the Jews by the king's order out of their tributes for the sacrifices, they would not pay it. they had also the governors favorable to them, and assisting them for that purpose, nor did they spare to hurt them, either by themselves or by others, as far as they were able. So the Jews determined to send an embassage to King Darius in favor of the people of Jerusalem, and in order to accuse the Samaritans. The ambassadors were Zorobabel and four others of the rulers. And as soon as the king knew from the ambassadors the accusations and complaints they brought against the Samaritans, he gave them an epistle to be carried to the governors and council of Samaria, the contents of which epistle were these: King Darius to Tanganas and Sambabas, the governors of the Samaritans, to Sadraces and Bobello, and the rest of their fellow servants that are in Samaria. Zorobabel, Ananias, and Mordecai, the ambassadors of the Jews, complain of you, that you obstruct them in the building of the temple, and do not supply them with the expenses which I commanded you to do for the offering of their sacrifices. My will, therefore, is this, that upon the reading of this epistle, you supply them with whatsoever they want for their sacrifices, and that out of the royal treasury, of the tributes of Samaria, as the priest shall desire, that they may not leave off offering their daily sacrifices, nor praying to God for me and the Persians. And these were the contents of that epistle.